Well, 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 what do we have here? It's us, the News with My Fiance Jones. A one DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones right here live coming at you Thursday morning.
Through your airwaves.
What do you say?
Through your airwaves.
Through your airwaves.
I'm DJ Ambush.
I'm also DJ Ambush.
Oh.
Morgan Jones will be here shortly. Yeah, you like that one.
I don't know what's happening right now. I just glitched. That's never been on the table that I, like, I've been you.
Yeah.
But the erasure there of Morgan Jones in this moment.
I wouldn't.
It feels, you know, and feelings definitely are more important than whatever it is you're about to say.
I was going to say, I wouldn't, you know, refer to it as erasure so much as, you know.
Deleting?
delaying the gem, you know, the gem of the production, you know, giving a little bit of a drum roll for the Morgan Jones to join the show.
The who?
The Morgan Jones.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about. You know it. You feel it. Yeah. She knows, guys. Don't worry about it. Don't you worry about it.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, y'all. Hey, fiancés. How we doing?
What it do?
How's your Thursday?
I got a sleepy Thursday. I'm going to need a nap.
Yeah.
I got to bed late. Don't really know why.
Well, it was late when I went to bed. So if you went to bed after me, which you definitely did.
I feel like, maybe I did.
No, you definitely did.
Yeah.
Because I was telling you to do things to go to sleep because I was on my way out.
Every night, you guys. It's the same thing with her. Ambush, put your CPAP mask on. Ambush, don't fall asleep without your mask. Ambush, you don't breathe at night if you don't have your mask on. Babe, you got to put it on every night, you guys. It's like, you know.
The old ball and chain, huh?
The old ball and chain.
Yeah.
Just bossing me around.
Nagging at all points.
Come on, I'm just trying to go to bed. She's giving me chores.
Okay, the way that just tickled you so much.
It's so silly.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's so silly. Oh, Ambush, I care about your life. Oh, Ambush, I hope you don't die in your sleep. Oh, Ambush, when you're not breathing, there's no oxygen going to your brain. How dare you have anything to say, Morgan Jones?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Sheesh. Enough already.
Always with this one, huh? Am I right?
Yeah.
Just always got something to say.
Concerned with my mortality. Oh. Always.
Well, you know, if you communicated which, you know, powers were manifesting and that I didn't need to worry about that, then maybe I wouldn't need to worry about it.
I think you're right. And for that, I take full responsibility. Psych. Oh. Come on.
Rudo. Come get your friend. Harper's husband. Are you around?
Where are you at?
Someone needs to come get Ambush. I know Kyle's busy. You know? Stuff to do.
Oh, goodness.
So back to school happened. And you know, this is the first year that we have not had a kid going to PPS.
It is.
I had no idea school started. It's amazing what you're no longer a part of.
Now, when you say school started, as in, oh yeah, you're right. I did see a bunch of like back to school photos for some of the homies' kids.
Was that your clue?
Yeah. And it was like first day of school. Oh, you know what? Also, my niece and nephew. Oh yeah. In the family thread, it was a bunch of first day of school posts.
So you did know it happened, or you did?
It's like I did, but I didn't.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's where I'm kind of going. I saw like the welcome back students signs at a couple of schools and was like, oh, wait, is that about to happen?
Right.
I'm still thinking school happens after Labor Day. It doesn't. Because it hasn't been for a long time.
But that's when it's supposed to start, you know?
Hard agree. But it's not been that way for a while. So
yeah.
I don't know what I'm thinking.
It's very sad.
Fiancés, I don't know if you're there because you haven't let me know. So someone, just give me a little peace sign. Or
that's what I'm talking about, guys.
Or
put
a quick
your
shout.
Mask on. Are you there? She's very controlling. Your face. Yeah, man. But no, seriously, it's true. I feel like everything has just been a friggin', you know, condensed whirlwind of events since November, honestly. And we're about to be in November again. We're about to hit a year.
Good morning, AJ.
I'm dead serious. Despite seeing all the back to school photos, it did not click in my head, like you said, because we don't have students in high school anymore. It didn't click in my head that kids are walking the streets with backpacks because they're in school, like they're inside school. It's so hot outside. It's like everyone must be home in the air conditioning like we are trying to be all the time.
It certainly hasn't felt like back to school traffic. That's for sure.
No, it hasn't. Absolutely not. The heck?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be funny when when someone texts in and is like, well, school didn't start yet, dummies. But thought.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, man. Is this Matt? I think it might be. Matt said, define there. Yawn. Fam?
I feel you, Matt.
I think we're all there.
Yeah, where you are.
Where you are.
We are steadily defining here.
Matt said he can't get no sleep with the AC running loud. Listen, the hum of the AC is not something that puts you to sleep.
Really? It
is, or for me.
And Matt.
Do we call that brown noise? What's that one called?
I think that's brown noise.
It doesn't keep me up, but it does not lull me to sleep. It's if there's any other noise, I literally am just hearing that. Like, I will just...
Oh, you'll drown everything else out and just hear that.
And just hear that. And then that doesn't work for my brain when I'm trying to rest, because then I need to be able to focus on something, so yeah. I'm not focused on all of the scrambling thoughts in my head.
That's...
And focusing on just a noise doesn't work for me.
I am so sorry. I'm so sorry for you and others like you. I most certainly can fall asleep. White noise, brown noise, black noise, blue noise, all the noises. I will sleep.
Man, bro. I want to know what
black and blue noise are.
Yeah, it's like I want to know, and then also I don't.
You're like, is it police related? Who's to say?
Because it sounds like it.
Yeah. But yeah. Fall asleep standing up, bro. You can put on an aquarium bubbles around me, and I'm going to go to sleep to that filter.
Yeah.
I think I can go to sleep to nothing.
You can go to sleep to nothing, to anything,
yeah.
To loud noises,
to everything.
To transformers, to metal.
Give me a horror.
On movie. Metal violence.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Metal on metal violence. That's a way to put it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Good morning, P-Town. P-Town said, fantastic rising fiancés. I broke my glasses, so no spell checking today. No. and then said, one quick question. Why are we making children go back to school in the middle of Arma frickin' getting? And I'm going to say, Capitalism, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Dibs said, born to Dibs.
But I know she already knows that answer. Sorry.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Dibs said, I'm so glad for a ceiling fan in our bedroom.
What a world. Bruh. Am I right? Okay. Ooh. I have not had a ceiling fan in my bedroom since I lived in, well, I guess Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You had one.
Yeah.
I was my own, like my place. Freaking Dallas.
Dude.
It took Dallas, Texas for me to get a ceiling fan and AC that just came in the place.
Dude. And then if you
that
haven't
ceiling
had,
fan is such a game changer. Yeah. Like,
if you haven't had a ceiling fan, you don't know about the modes and the directions.
Man.
And it's just like, wait a minute. If I turn it the other direction, it does what to the heat? And what? It creates a different
vortex. Pattern.
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know why, but I had a ceiling fan in my bedroom in the house, in my parents' house. Mm. And right now I'm having a hard time remembering if they did. I don't think they did. Like, why would my bedroom have one and theirs didn't?
Right.
Or why would they put one in and then not one for them?
Maybe you ran hot as a young youth. And you were always complaining about being hot at night.
Yeah, that wouldn't have got me a ceiling fan. That would have got me a box fan and a window.
No, okay.
Yeah. You've met Nick Jones.
I have.
Okay. Oh, what? You're hot?
Here you go.
Here. Yeah. Take this wet rag. Put it on your face. That help? Dibs. I do see the area code. Dibs said we moved here from Dallas. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Oh.
I wasn't there. Are you from Dallas? I didn't live there long, but I've been there many a time. Mm.
I've never been to Dallas. I've been to Austin. And boy, was it hot and humid.
You've been to Austin?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. You went to a conference or something.
Uh-uh. No. It was the engagement ceremony for Femi.
Oh, that was in Austin?
Mm-hmm.
That's
for Femi and Miranda, yep. It was so humid. It was unrealistic. It was something from like a sci-fi movie when I walked out of that airport. I walked right back in.
Yeah, I said forget about it.
No.
You guys, this is an interesting thought when you are coming from the environment of what I just call hot and wet Philadelphia.
Well, that's the thing. I'd already been
here
for so long. That
it wasn't that long, though. I feel like you got here and then they got engaged and, no, I guess it was 2 years.
Yeah.
Never mind. Let me get out.
Yeah.
Let me get out.
And by that time, whew, no way, man.
Yeah.
My body had completely regulated to the Pacific Northwest, the crisp air. Crisp, clean air.
Well, one fantastic thing that I don't know this about Austin, but I'd say if it truly is the Portland of Texas, they don't have AC everywhere that they need to. But again, I don't know.
They might now.
In Dallas, it was like you are only that hot. I mean, as you know, if you have until you like when you're walking to a place, when you get out of your car to get to the door of the place. Because you're protected if your car has AC, and then every single place you go has AC. Mm. They will pump the AC to the outside. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember the little city that my Aunt Susan lived in, but I'm sure I'll come up with it. There were a lot of bars there that had either the outside patio had, you know, like misters and big, huge ceiling fan things. Or it was just like cold air pumping at you. And it wasn't really, you're like outside, but not really outside, you know?
I heard the same thing about Arizona. They do the same thing. A lot of misters.
Well, I'll tell you this. In the desert, it gets 115 and it's just like, that's Tuesday.
I don't like it. I don't like it. Shout out to everybody that is finding their way to beat the heat. And for those that are suffering through it, heat rashes and the like, I stand in solidarity.
I'm sorry. I wasn't laughing at what you were saying.
I couldn't tell.
Well, that's amazing. That's why I'm saying something now. That's yeah. It seems like then this won't go to waste. Pete Down said, oof, wet rags are the summertime treats. Cool off or snap the rag at the homie. The pop of a wet rag will mess a body up. Have you ever, Ambush, been hit with a, okay, like a wet towel when you snap a towel?
Absolutely. Some of my cousins are menaces.
I believe there was a time in my life that I thought that that's what waterboarding was.
You're like, I've been waterboarded.
I've definitely been waterboarded before, guys.
It sucks, guys.
My cousin, he does this all the time.
Yes, I have two cousins, one real and one play. Richard and Julian. Terrible. Terrible. Relentless with the towel snaps.
Oh.
And Julian would do it. We went to high school together. So he would do it in high school. Middle school together. Bam.
I don't know why my dad ever taught me how to do that.
Oh, my God.
That's but me and my cousin Paul used to tear each other up. Is the only way to say it. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of...
You get lashes from them things.
Oh, yeah. Right? I was going to say, a lot of weird little scars from... Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the time that he hit me in the back with the... Jeez. Maybe I should say what we're going to chat about.
Yeah.
Later in the show.
Local stuff.
In local news. We didn't get to this story on Monday, so we're definitely going to talk about how a Trump policy is causing homelessness in Portland.
Yep.
Safe rest for racists in Deschutes County.
Bruh.
When Mayor Wilson is pushing for reunification strategy.
In a bid to end homelessness.
Yeah. And then... Portland schools zero in on landmark building for Black Student Excellence Center.
Yeah.
Which sounds probably racist. So
Morgan.
Oh.
I am. I'm also wondering how they're going to meet that challenge with all of these regulations and edicts and executive orders coming down from the federal level saying no DEI. You're going to open a Black Student Excellence Center?
Demolish.
Yeah.
Demolish. We'll just end that before we start it. How about that? Yeah. We don't even have to. So yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
But first, has anyone caught any piece of the Cardi B trial?
I haven't.
It's a civil case, to be clear, when I say trial.
Catching me up to speed last night.
This is not the kind of thing that I expect a bunch of you to have be on top of. But that's why you have me, you know? A person who can't get away from certain court issue dramas.
For sure.
I didn't know that this was happening. So all of a sudden, I follow a woman who is a reporter and who we affectionately call Megan the Reporter because she did a fantastic job reporting on the Tory Lanez trial for shooting Meg Thee Stallion. Mm-hmm. And so I saw like a couple of shorts coming from her that were like Cardi B on the stand. So I'm like, what is going on here?
What's her name again? Cardellis. What's her name?
Barcalis or something.
Barcalis, what you do?
I feel so bad. It's not that hard of a name to pronounce. It's that I can't remember
where the letters are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the story goes, Cardi B is at this time, this is 7 years ago that this happened. Cardi B is going to see her gyno. She's pregnant. She's with two of her security folk.
Mm-hmm.
They get off the elevator. There is a security guard at the building, you know, who is on the phone. and says, like, oh, snap, there's Cardi B. And the allegation is that there was more said at that point, but Cardi's like, ayo, why you taking, don't take pictures and video, because the woman had was holding her phone.
Oh.
She's like, yeah, ayo, don't, you know, don't do that. And they start arguing because the security guard is like a little brolic. Gets off the elevator, what you say, repeat yourself type. And I think that Cardi B is probably like 3 feet tall. I'm not sure exactly the feet in inches, but she is what we would call a tiny tot.
She is.
In the way that, much like a feisty little teeny tiny lap dog, and this is not me
of course
in any way referring to her as a dog. But, you know, there's a lot of attitude and a lot of energy within these little tiny beans. And then you get surprised when things don't go your way when you're the bigger of the two.
Yeah.
Right. This is the most messy, most ridiculous trial. And again, this is a civil trial. So the security guard is suing Megan Thee Stallion for, I mean, I'm sorry, Cardi I'm sorry, B. suing Cardi B for assault, battery, emotional distress, all of those things. She said that she received one that Cardi spit on her and then cut her face with her 3-inch long pointed nails.
Serrated nails.
Exactly. And she had to receive plastic surgery for the scratch on her face. And so she needs $24 million because...
Whoa.
She was also fired due to the incident. And so obviously...
2 to 4?
Not 2 to 4 million. 24 million.
I wanted to be sure.
Yeah. 24. Holy like the hours in the day. 24 milli.
Is she in collaboration with... Tasha K?
Probably. Okay. this is the silliest stuff, though. Like, her attorney, the first thing I see is Cardi being questioned. Yesterday, you had short black hair. Today, you have long blonde hair. Which one is real, or are both of them real?
Your Honor. I object. Relevance, Your Honor. Relevance.
The amount of times that Cardi's attorney is like, objection, relevance, objection, relevance, objection, relevance. It's like, but I don't know that this person's lawyer is just not up to snuff or what, but what they're trying to do is get around to, like, he asked about her nails, and she had shorter nails there.
Is she a false witness? Is she misrepresenting herself?
Yeah, like, basically everything about you is fake.
Yeah.
And so we should assume that you're a liar anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then on top of that, you're, like, rich and famous, and you told this woman she is a security guard, and you make more money than her, so...
Now it's time for you to pay.
Manz said to the lawyers said to Cardi, did you call her fat? And she said, no, I called her a B word.
I love her so much.
He keeps asking different questions different ways. And she's like, I already answered that. And then at one point he's like, well, how did you know she was bigger than you? Or something like that. And she was like, points to her eyes and was like, hello. And I'm like, this is not real. This isn't real.
Music video.
Manz responds, hello, yeah, I'm here.
Are you serious? Oh, no. But I'm the judge. I'm like, can we wrap this up?
Anyway, this is just, it's the wildest thing. So she's saying she was assaulted, you know, and Cardi is saying, I never touched her. I certainly didn't spit on her. I was definitely worried because this bigger person is coming at me. I'm pregnant. I can't do anything in the same way. And it very much sounds like the doctor came out because the shouting match was so loud. The receptionist came out. Receptionist is the only person, apparently, who did get a hit from the security guard. And the doctor is the one who was like, oh, absolutely not. We're not having any of this. This security guard, these are my clients. These are my patients. Right. You can't treat my patients like this. Her attorney is like, says to the doctor, well, do you have more than one, you know, famous client? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, mostly famous clients? And he's like, no, but I do have and have had some famous clients. And he's like, well, isn't it true that you're just here today testifying for Cardi B so that you can continue to have a powerful star clientele or something like that?
If I'm the doctor, I'm like, no, she promised me a verse on the new album. So I'm here to secure that. What are you talking about?
Mans was like, I've absolutely had it. The doctor was like, I'm here to tell the truth because I'm seeing a egregious version of it. And it isn't what we saw. And it certainly sounds to me like he's the one that got her fired. The security guard definitely got fired.
Yeah.
And it definitely sounds like that had a lot to do with the tenant of the building, meaning the doctor, not Cardi B.
Patient. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. If he has clientele up and down the scale like that, I don't need any liabilities. Are you just wilding out and just doing weird stuff with clients? Come on. And how long could you have been there where this is what you do when someone famous is there? That's how you react in the moment. How long could you have been at that place?
Right.
Yeah. Like, come on, man.
The whole thing was like the entire interaction. They're both like, I don't know, 45 seconds, you know, like very short.
Cut it out.
Thing. And I'm just like, number one, 24 million as an ask is wild. Two, this woman has changed her story in the way of, first it was there was no physical thing listed.
Uh-oh.
In the incident report, what she did say was that Cardi had her hands in her face, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she was trying to argue the semantics of that. The person, you know, the Cardi's attorney is like, so there was nothing listed as a physical injury. And then in a deposition, you said that she scratched your nose. And then here you're saying it was your cheek and that you don't remember anything with the nose. And
is there
a reason why you think you wouldn't have put that in the incident report that you wrote the day of? And so she's like, I did. Her hands were in my face. In my face, around my face. Like, it was...
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
A mess and a half. The idea that we see these interactions and people just assume this means it's a payday. And, like, you're not realizing in any way the amount of wrong as the employee that you did in that moment. Like, she is walking into a doctor's office. You are saying where she is to someone who nobody knows who that person is but you.
Right. They know you're at work.
They know you're at work. We don't know if they do or don't know where you work, but like if you are
mobbing up there by the time
her
appointment, that's not cool, bro.
And there's also, I mean, I don't know. To me, there's got to be some sort of, I don't know if it's actual HIPAA, but it's like, you can you be talking about where people are at like that?
Not cool. Absolutely not cool.
So the reason that I'm even now I'm stuck into this because it literally is like a soap opera. Yeah. You know, like the
AJ said her fits was she was killing it.
Oh, she's out here.
Oh.
Fam's out here.
Ooh.
She been looking amazing every day.
Ooh.
She been looking amazing every day.
She's one of my favorite people. Oh, real quick. You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then the Halen, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Yeah, she's one of my favorite people. So, and she don't play. When she step out, she step out. So I'm outside. So
you're yeah, and she's going outside. To court. So we've seen her in court before. The fits are banging, the hair, the looks, she is serving. Yeah. No question. The short black hair, she came in with the short black hair looking, you know, and the lawyer said who was questioning her about her hair.
Right.
And her response, she was like, they're with, like,
what are we doing?
And he goes, oh, wow, okay. Had no idea, would have never known or something. Like, yeah, yesterday was a good wig. And I was like, so you gonna say yesterday was a good wig? Now, wait. And so today I'm not, today's not a good wig day?
Is the judge a man or a woman?
A man.
Okay.
And the judge has been, from everything that I've heard, doing exactly what he's supposed to do. Okay. Like,
shutting down the foolishness.
When Cardi's attorneys object, you know, there's multiple witnesses who just keep talking, which is wild. Like, it's like they've not been instructed at all. And I know they have. Whoever subpoenaed you definitely told you, if you hear an objection, don't say anything.
Right.
But multiple people have just, like, there was a psychologist that saw the woman, and she just kept talking. She kept talking. And the judge was like, actually, just hold on. Don't do that. The woman who's actually suing her at multiple times is answering questions that are not asked, right?
Wow.
So, like, if this is a yes or no answer, she's like...
And then?
Well, she's not even giving the yes or no. She's just like, because I blah, blah, blah. Or, you know, is giving the context to it instead of just saying yes or no. And so multiple times.
No, but... Because
it's like,
slow down.
Yeah, but she was charging me. Or, she had her nails in my face, you know.
Yes or no? Yeah.
Multiple times that happened, and the judge is like, you need to focus on the question that's being asked of you. Only answer the question being asked. This is, you're doing it wrong, babes. Anyway, it's fascinating because the things that a lot of people think are going to upset someone like Cardi B just wouldn't, right? So, like, this, the security guard supposedly said that, like, called her ghetto and was like, and you in here acting ghetto type. And the attorney was like, did she call you names? Did she say this? You know, what does it mean if someone says you're ghetto? And Cardi was like, well, I can't say for sure what she meant, but I know that's not offensive to me.
Uh-oh.
Like, if someone calls me ghetto, that's not a problem. That's fine. And this lawyer just had no pivots. Like, he's just like, so anyway, when you wear nails.
Different question.
It's wild.
Wow. That's funny.
I'm having a time.
I cannot.
I'll come back with more info when there's more info.
I need this woman not to get $24 million.
Oh, she's definitely not getting $24 million. This is not looking good for her, at least so far. It's not looking good for her. It, like, there's too many witnesses that were like, yeah, I didn't see a thing on her face. Nobody spit on her. This is that didn't happen. Didn't see that happen. There's no one corroborating her story. Basically, the way that they have Cardi's attorneys have laid it out is this thing happens. The receptionist that came out and got in between them and started to defuse it before the doctor came out. Then the doctor comes out and they all, you know, get it handled. The security guard went to that receptionist weeks later and was like, I'm going to sue, you want in type. And she was like, absolutely not. That's not what happened. I don't know how I could be helpful to you.
I would never think to try to frame up someone. Like if someone hit me or whatever, you know, and it legit happened that way, we can have a conversation with a lawyer. But if it didn't happen at all, I would never think to try to frame up someone who has resources like that.
Beyond my imagination.
Right. Like, first off, you're going to get a better graded lawyer than me just because you can. Secondly, I'm putting myself in the crosshairs of a countersuit, which would change the trajectory of the rest of my life.
Right.
So no, it's not. That's not a gamble worth making at all, bro. At all. She better pray Cardi don't countersue. Pray she don't do that.
Pray she don't do that.
Oh.
This is why I think that Meg Thee Stallion, not the reporter, is suing Milagro Grams, who is a gossip blogger person who was hired by Tory Lanez's family
to spread
certain things. That's why I think she's doing that, is simply like, y'all are out here trying to ruin people's lives and you're thinking it's like NBD. It charges a lot of folks up.
Yeah.
You don't have any control over what those people do, but you certainly have control over the information that you share.
Right.
And when the information that you share is not just defaming, it's completely false. It's not. Then, yeah, you have to. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're making a living, you're generating income off of these lies, you should understand that part of that game, too, is that you can be held financially liable for what you're saying. Like, you wouldn't be paid for what you're saying, right? Okay, there can be financial consequences to that as well. So you can be unpaid for what you're saying.
Just relieve you of those monies.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. This is the game we're playing. No one's asking you to go this dirty. No one's asking you to completely make things up in order for you to have content. But if that's what you want to do, so be it. So be it.
Word to the clips.
Yeah. Uh-huh, nice.
I do want to talk about a different story real quick. And if you heard, I know you didn't. Fiancés, did you hear about the woman at Burger King who had to work the entire 12-hour shift by herself?
No. And what do you mean by herself?
I mean, like, nobody showed up to work. And she ran the entire restaurant by herself.
No.
And someone went into the store, like, just as a customer, and sees that she's by herself and, like, does video and puts it on TikTok and is like, y'all, she in here by herself. I think it was Columbia, South Carolina. She in here all by herself, y'all. So somebody come help her. Like, she doing all the stuff. This woman ends up, you know, like, the social media bands together. Or wait, no, I'm skipping. People lose their minds. They're like, what in the world? You can't run a whole restaurant by yourself.
Right.
Somebody's working a 12-hour shift by themselves. There's got to be a million different things wrong with that. You know, this is terrible. Yeah, so the
shut down in those days. You can't stay
so
open.
She's becoming, you know, quite the working class hero.
Yeah.
Right. She just got fired. Burger King fired her for attendance issues.
I hate where we live so much.
Attendance issues.
Oh.
After being made known as managing a location for 12 hours straight by herself, the owners of that Burger King were like, well, you know, we've actually had it.
No, y'all got to explain that.
So social media bands together. They have now raised about $130,000 for this woman, which I just want to use this, as I always do, as examples of anti-blackness and especially misogynoir. Let me tell you, if this was a white woman, $800,000 off rip.
Does Ellen have a show? She'd be on Ellen. Does Ellen still broadcasting?
Ellen would be, no, she doesn't. But Ellen would be giving her a big check for $1 million.
What? They'd give her keys to her own franchise.
She'd have a new, exactly that.
What are we talking? Obviously, you know how to run a restaurant.
Well, how
you
about
did a 12-hour shift by yourself? We're going to give you a restaurant.
We're going to give you a restaurant. That's exactly what would happen.
That's nasty. That's nasty.
Where did the early 2000s go? And I'm going to be clear. I'm not saying $130,000 is something to sneeze at. I'm just saying there is a woman who called a black child the N-word, and the internet was like, "What we won't allow to happen to you is a cancellation. Here's off rip $700,000.
You gotta get this money to you, girl.
We need to make sure that you and your family are going to be okay after you went out there and crusaded for us. So when I see somebody who worked a 12-hour shift by themselves at a fast food restaurant and then gets fired for attendance issues.
No.
$130,000, again, nothing to sneeze at, but like, that's when you really band together, is it not? Like, that's...
Somebody call OSHA. Get that location shut down. I can't deal with it.
And what was incredible about this particular person is she got that money. You know, she goes on TikTok and is like, I cannot believe that this is what, you know, y'all are so amazing. Thank you so much for blessing me. She's like, y'all bless me. I'm blessing my mom, and paid her mom's rent. Nice. Like...
Nice.
There's this idea that people are going to do everything wrong if given the opportunity of money or, you know.
Yeah. Yep.
Someone always wants to tell you how to, you don't have financial literacy and whatnot. And you tell that to people who have been surviving their entire lives.
Yeah.
You know. She was like, I was able to get a car that had AC, and I paid my bills, and I paid my mom's rent. It's not like she has ran through the money by any stretch, but like the things that she went and handled necessities, right? Until she figures the next move out.
Job out, yeah.
But at no point is she like, and now I'm going to retire. I'm a millionaire. Right. Like,
wow.
But wow. Yeah,
those franchise
like imagine
owners,
that
those franchise owners need to answer some questions, because that's just ridiculous. That's 100% ridiculous.
Nah. I'm late because I have to get my kids somewhere so that I can work. Y'all don't pay enough for me to actually pay for, you know, childcare. There's no wiggle room, apparently, if I'm late. But I guess if other people just don't show.
Right. Yeah, they should have shut down.
I'd say they fired her because she accidentally. It wasn't even like her out here complaining about it. A customer walked in and was like, "What in the world is going on?" I think they fired her because they exposed that the restaurant was running like that.
Yeah, for sure.
You should never, never be by yourself. No. That is a yes. You shut it down. It's dangerous. It's hazardous. It's, yes. You know, like, it's all the things. This is not like, there's no way that that's a safe situation.
No, not for anyone.
Anyway,
not for anyone. Oh my goodness.
Matt said, back when I was in summer camp, a camp counselor snapped a perfectly rolled up towel at a kid that snapped with a sonic boom.
Woo.
You felt it. All the birds flew out of the trees. The kid dropped like a bag of bricks. Oh. I've never seen anyone in pain like that. I can still hear it if I close my eyes. It was all in good fun, though. He didn't mean it.
Yeah.
And that is the danger of the towel snap.
Yeah. You got to know how to do that.
It's flick a whip. Of the wrist. It is a whip. You are lashing.
And if you catch someone at the very end of the towel,
all of the birds fly out of the trees.
Yeah, birds flying out of trees, bro.
That was such a great description.
Oh, man. Yeah.
P-Town said, she's Cardi B's attorney.
Yeah. Nasty business.
It is gross touching food and money. You cannot, there's so many different things. You cannot be the one person doing all the things.
You can't. You can't. You absolutely can't.
Also, how she didn't get robbed that day is beyond me.
I think a robber, burglar, stick-up person in a situation like that's when you get like that scene from like a comedy movie, and it's like, wait, you back here by yourself?
Oh, never mind.
You need some help or something? I can't rob. No, never mind.
Never mind.
You can't be back here by yourself and you got robbed.
Right.
Nah, I'm cool. You know what? When's the next shift? When's the ship change? Because I can't do this to you.
Do you also own this?
This ain't your business.
Okay. Man. I'm going to go ahead and head out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Did your shake machine work?
Okay. I'll take a music break.
Okay. All right. We'll take a... take a music break. We'll be right back. And we are right back. Welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Morgan Jones is here, you guys. She wasn't here at the top of the show. It was first Ambush and Ambush. But then MJ made it. In the nick of time.
No matter what I do in my life, I am, in fact, going to make a firm. Ambush and Ambush. Attorneys at law. Or like, you know. I need that t-shirt.
Wait. John just popped up. Oh my God, Morgan. I had no idea about that Cardi trial. had to watch some clips. That nonsense is wildly hilarious. Absolutely must see TV.
Yes.
Thanks for the break from the real insanity that's going on right now.
Okay. It's exactly that. That's what I needed to say. Thank you, John. It's a break. It's a moment of entertainment.
Yeah.
That isn't, you know, great entertainment, but meaning it's a legal trial, but. It is absolute. It's nonsense, and it's wildly hilarious.
Yeah. All right, let me check out some clips.
Yeah. So it's doing me good. If you need some moments, you know.
You keep it for real with the clips.
Okay. Yep.
Babe, I would like for you.
Oh, okay.
To spend the next couple of minutes regaling me. On the story in which I regaled you previously as a topic about the Confederate. Is it the Confederate flag that's being flown?
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering if this is actually woke. But yeah, go on.
I want to hear about it. Tell to me and our listeners, to other fiancés, what is happening in Deschutes County?
Okay. Fiancés, let's get into Deschutes. At the Juniper Ridge Temporary Safe Stay Homeless Camp north of Bend, a Confederate flag has been flying, visible from Highway 97. Mm-mm. Residents and activists, including a Bend woman, demanded that it be taken down, but the county, they said, nah, baby. Why? Free speech, brother. You knew it had to be. Deschutes County Commissioner said they can't force the removal without potentially violating the First Amendment. The land is owned by the county, and apparently the existing rules for the Safe Stay camp don't mention flags at all. That means changing the guidelines would be a process that is probably, you know, just too hard to do.
Yeah.
And the county says proving the flag is a hate symbol in court would be costly, complicated, and slow.
Proving or identify.
Yeah, do you want me to say it again?
Yeah.
The county says proving the flag is a hate symbol in court would be costly, complicated, and slow. Meanwhile, some point out that Oregon has precedent for banning hate symbols on public property, like in schools. Ben's mayor says she's open to talking with the county about prohibiting flags in the camp altogether. But for now, the Confederate flag stays. And this would obviously not just be about a piece of cloth. It's about whose voices and trauma are being centered. Homeless individuals, many of them Black, Indigenous, or otherwise marginalized, are living in many spaces where a symbol of white supremacy is flying overhead and the county's legal fears are putting procedure over people.
We need more flags at that location. We need pride flags. We need anti-Klan flags. We need all manner of flags. Flags of Palestine. We need all manner of flags. It's free speech. Flag it up. All the flags. United flags.
Of America.
Of America. Of the Safe Rest Village. All the flags. This is the game we want to play.
Well, I do hear your all flags matter. And I counter with they've already, the mayor has already said, well, I'm open to banning all flags.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of those kind of fixes that really misses the point here.
Yeah.
The fact that we're even talking about flags rather than hate symbols.
Yeah.
But rather than what that flag represents, this isn't a freedom of speech issue.
No.
This is a...
it's a freedom of hate speech issue.
Yeah, it's wild to me what folks are assume they are free to do or that falls within free speech. Mm-hmm. There's no freedom from that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't have the right to not have the Confederate flag flying in my face.
Right.
At all times. Like, I have continuously find issue, and you know, this has been the case since they were trying to heavily take down statues and symbols of hatred that have been parts of our infrastructure.
No, they're putting them back up.
Well, you know, you can't erase the past.
Yeah.
And you, though you can't get caught up in it and you don't want to be defined by it, you know, but you also can't forget that, you know, Strom Thurmond was actually...
Come on now.
You know?
Let's get these names, these facilities changed back.
Working hard.
Let's get these names, these facilities changed back. You know? AJ just hit the checkmate there.
Hit the checkmate. What checkmate. Does that mean?
She said, if someone flies a Palestinian flag, watch flags there be banned immediately.
That's what I'm saying.
That's it. Just put that one flag up, you guys.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
I'm like, yes.
That's not the result that we want, but...
That's the thing.
It's like since you
would play exactly
there.
What would happen if you put a Palestinian flag up. Now, all of a sudden, it's not just hate speech. It's you're a terrorist. And so now we'll just ban all flags because we're in third grade and we don't have yet to get to the middle school portion of where you learn how to mediate.
Right.
I do wonder, do any of y'all have middle school children, age children right now? If so, do they still have peer mediators?
What? What's that?
What?
Peer mediators? What are you talking about?
Like okay, so for as,
a mediator?
For as much as I talk smack about the education system as it stands, there are many a thing that I learned in school that was fantastic.
Yeah.
One.
You guys in Oregon, man.
Yeah, peer mediators was about learning how to resolve conflict without having a physical altercation or to have a lasting, you know, beef with someone. So You have a peer mediator because you're not going to talk about things in front of your teachers, right? Or your or the adults. If you have a real... Why are you looking at me like that? Am I making it...
No, what you're saying is just... I'm just sitting here in awe. Like...
Oh. Okay. Yeah, all I thought I sounds, was not explaining this.
No. Well. All this sounds like doy-yoy. Like, yeah, every school should be doing that. Yeah. Yeah,
shout out to Fernwood.
No.
Beverly, like, what now are Beverly you Cleary.
Talking about? No.
Well, I was a peer mediator for 3 years in a row.
Wow.
And it was one of my favorite things. And because I'm nosy, obviously. And then also, I.
little nosy middle school Morgan. What do you guys need me to mediate?
Yeah. So is everybody mad at each other?
So but you guys is personal business.
You guys want to tell me about it? You want to tell me?
You're a little Josephine Matlock. That's what you're doing. Just walking around.
You know? Been an investigator all my life.
That's so adorable. What kind of training and like a little guidance or like, you know,
you had to go by? You had to learn how to be a peer mediator. And that was probably not the best training. I'm sure. You know, like okay. I don't remember it off, you know,
yeah.
Everything that I learned how to do it. But I do remember having to have like training before you then mediated anything.
So you were a peer mediator for 3 years. Was it new training? Not new, but you had to be retrained each beginning each school year, I'm assuming.
I think it was, yeah, it was okay. Like there's it was all the same process. Program. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's anyway, cool. I don't even remember why I brought this up. Why did I bring this up? Conflict. Because you learn that you're looking for resolutions, mm-hmm. right? Like you're not
just winning something.
Yeah. Like this, what you guys are arguing is your sides, right? Someone wants to be right. But does it even really matter in this moment? Mm-hmm. If we just chalk it up to you're right, Joe, is that enough? Mm. Are we good?
Mm.
You know, like, Tim, is that cool or no? You feel that that's not cool. So let's talk about what would make people feel whole, right?
Mm.
This, to me, the kind of what the mayor said, I'm open to hearing about we should just ban all flags. You have yet to get to the point of what conflict resolution means and how to actually solve a problem. This isn't... This is domestic terrorism. There's no other way to really describe what racism and overt symbols of white supremacy do to somebody's body. Mind,
body, all of it, yeah.
And if you are living in constant instability and trauma in homelessness, can you call a place that waves a Confederate flag a safe rest village or safe rest whatever?
No, you can't.
What's safe about it? And it immediately makes me say, and again, forever and always, shout out Imagine Black for reimagining what public safety looks like. What does safety mean to y'all? What does safe mean to y'all? Because if what you're saying is this is supposed to be a safe place for you to sleep, safe for who?
Right.
Safe for who? And in what regard is this something that is so important that it, because there is no, we at least over here, mm-hmm. I am not ever going to entertain someone's delusion that's this is about heritage, not slavery. Like, I'm not going to entertain your delusion of the losing team. I'm not going to do it. You be a Cowboys fan over there. Because it's wild. You have literally no business. In whoever's flying it. If it's the person who runs the safe rest... You have no business. And if it is somebody who lives there, in what regard? as you are on your last, do you also still have time to be a domestic terrorist?
That's how important, essential it is to their identity to express that supremacy. Here you are in a safe rest village. All of your focus should be on obtaining resources to change your situation, maybe dealing with any challenges that you might be facing, health or mental, you know, certainly financial. And in the midst of all of that, you want to oppress someone else.
Imagine.
You want to seek some power and some, you know, I guess, perceived reprieve by making someone else uncomfortable. That is amazing. That's amazing.
So adding on to that, P-Town just said, what does it say about our houseless population having a safe place? The hell in that person's destitution, they're still holding on to their hatred. It's not what it says about our houseless population. It's what it says about white supremacy's reach. Because in order for white supremacy to work, it has to give white people the idea that this is and this is not just, this is about you and this will benefit you.
Yep. Yep.
The way that that has been working, you know, beautifully for them. You cannot have any of these systems of oppression without having people to oppress, number one, and people to believe in the reasons. And really, truly missing the point altogether are people that are clinging to their racism when, in all honesty, the only person they have to be mad at are the rich people stealing all the hoarding all the resources.
That's it.
It got nothing to do with black, brown, immigrant, indigenous, none of that. None of that. It is the people that are hoarding the resources, the people that are exploiting you, the people that made decisions that put you in the place that you're in. That's who you need to be mad at.
And only them.
And only them. And the only ire you should have is for systems of oppression, not, you know, individual people that you see that you're like, a black! Because also imagine that that's a jump scare. Like, in what regard? Where are you living that you don't even see black and brown people still? Mm-hmm. And Bend is white, but it ain't that white.
Right.
That whole area is indigenous. Like, you have the nerve. The nerve. Mm-hmm. But again, I ask, who safe to who? And this is the kind of thing where that's what the state will spend money on or counties will spend money on. These are not measures that change any, not just living conditions and opportunity, but it does not change people's stability in the way that will allow them to become stable, you know, citizens, right? So we invest a bunch of money into these temporary measures that mean absolutely nothing in the long run. And also we have to allow major racism to be happening there. Free speech.
The second it makes someone else feel unsafe, it should be the end of the discussion. That's it. That really should be it.
This does not make sense that there's any sort of question or that that hasn't been taken down, that anybody would be like, well, what about the free speech aspect of this?
No.
You are grossly misunderstanding what free speech means.
And you know what? Take it down and allow that person to sue. But take it down. Take it down. Take it down. Allow that person to sue. See if it'll hold up. But take it down. This is like, this is my whole thing. You're giving people.
I'm sorry, north of Bend.
North of Bend.
Yeah.
You're giving people access. It's like, what's that? What the hell have they been saying? I'm sorry. Oh, it's like you're agreeing to, how's it, you agreeing to the yes before it's being asked. The comparisons have been made towards decisions that people have been making around Trump, you know, trying to avoid his ire.
Oh, okay. Like you're already capitulating to something that hasn't even been brought up.
Yes, yes, yes. While this can be argued as a free speech issue, do not give them the argument.
Why would you argue it?
Why would you argue it? Take it down. Let them raise the argument.
Go to court about it.
Right. Let them fight to get it back up.
Yeah.
But take it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, nah, man.
Like, this is literally who was working that day. Were you just like, oh, Alan's here and he's obviously a racist, so he let it stand. But Susan is scared of Alan, so she didn't say anything. Like, what?
Which is basically it. Which is basically the full reality of so many different dynamics.
Yeah.
How many places have you worked at where there's that one problematic person and excuses made? Oh, that's just how he is.
Ooh.
Same thing.
What's the statute of limitations on a civil suit for racism experienced within a workplace?
Right.
Lawyer fiancés, y'all got an answer for that?
Like, well, you know how such and such
is. I got a case.
Yeah, the fact that you're saying that I know how such and such is means you too, management, know how such and such is, do something about it.
Well, it also, you're complicit.
Right. Yeah, man.
I used to have a manager who would say to me, well, you know, that's just so-and-so.
Yeah.
No, I don't just know that so-and-so. No, I don't think that giving is saying to me that her age is, you know, what are you going to do? No, I don't think that any of that's okay.
No.
No, I don't think that's appropriate. No, I don't think that's a resolution. No, I don't think that we should just continue. That what that sounds like to me is that you don't care.
Yeah.
If somebody sues the pants off of this place.
If you make my work environment unsafe, you make it non-productive, you make it uncomfortable, you are a distraction.
You've made it a hostile working.
If you've done that. Yeah. No. Thank you. Because that's where I was trying to go. If you've now created a hostile work environment where the only person comfortable at work is you because of what you're doing, I will fire you. I have done it.
Yeah.
No. And then guess what? If they want to at some point come back and put it on me, well, he just, yes, sure. But guess what? In the meantime, now my floor is productive again. In the meantime, now my team's productive again. In the meantime, they don't have this thing that you were doing hanging over their heads, making their environment hostile. So yes. Like, come on, man.
AJ said, I can't imagine being unhoused and spending my little resources being hateful, right. Insane behavior. P-Town said, also giving this kind of thing a platform to tear that up. Speak to the folks about the whiteness of that horrible flag. Could say so much about the way these camps are being run.
Mm.
Yes, that.
Mm.
Because if you can fly a Confederate flag, that's visible, yes? If you can see it from the highway, what's being said? What's being done? What's happening on the ground as, you know, like... Yeah. Real quick, this says also a white supremacist couldn't give a. They will make everyone else uncomfortable so they can have their stupid stuff the way they want.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
making other people uncomfortable is not uncomfortable for them.
No, it's a pastime.
It's you know part of the job.
Yeah. All right, I'm hopping to a quick music break. And we'll be right back.
We might finish with a story. Who knows?
And we are Bizak. News of my wait. News of Miami Yami. News of Miami Yami. That's not how that works. News of my fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Right here on X-Ray FM. What it do, what it do. Shout out to everybody texting. Keeping the lines popping.
Heck yeah.
You know, we've been local newsing it pretty much all morning, with the exception of Cardi, but she's a family member, so it's local.
I will say, Dibs with a great question here about the Confederate flag at the safe rest place. Will you go to jail for burning it?
Probably. I don't know. Is that flag protected? It shouldn't be.
Oh, they're working on... Oh, you didn't see that.
Oh, gosh. They're working on getting it...
Well, you know, we just executive order everything around this mother flub, know? And the administration... I saw this in, like, one of those fleeting moments of, like, oh...
Great.
Really? We have time to focus on that?
And they're like, we have time not to? Come on.
Prosecuting, this is a statement from President Trump's executive order to outlaw flag burning.
Great.
Yeah, if you want me to read it, I can. But there's on the website, you know, prosecuting burning of the American flag. On August 25th, President Trump issued an executive order cracking down on flag burning, which is protected expressive activity under the First Amendment.
Right.
During the signing, Trump remarked, if you burn a flag, you get 1 year in jail.
Gosh.
I don't know if you guys know this, but that's not how it's supposed to
work. No, no.
Flag burning is a form of political protest. It is protected by the First Amendment. That's nothing new. While people can be protected for burning anything in a place they aren't allowed to set fires, the government can't prosecute protected expressive activity, even if many Americans, including the president, find it uniquely offensive and provocative. Mm. But he doesn't care. This is a person who's not, you know, we are just going to make anything we don't like as much as we possibly can illegal.
Boom.
And I don't even know, you know, I don't know enough about this to know if this means anything.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing. Much like the right-wing reactionaries, and especially when I say that, I'm thinking of our homegrown ones, or the ones that are, you know, right here in our own neighborhoods. One of the things that gets me is here we are with a president who doesn't understand how anything works, let alone actual government governing, you know, doesn't know what any of it means. Infringing on states' rights all over the place. These people, this goes literally against everything that they talk about. The small government they're looking for because of the big government's overreach. All of this is the, you know, opposite of what they will tell you they're looking for.
Right.
Burning a flag, like, we are literally living in the worst logical timeline.
Right.
Because how is that a priority? How is this something that makes you go, finally doing the things that matter the most? Like, this just isn't even the way that things go. You don't just make it a law. You just don't get to be a person that says, and now you'll go to jail for a year.
Unless you are a dictator.
I mean, that's absolutely true.
Brooke just sent a text over. Says it's a image for an event coming up. Come join us for flag burning. Executive order is not law. Protect free speech. Bring your own flag.
First of all, good morning, Brooke. I love you. I miss you.
This is an event organized here in Portland, September 11th.
Portland already responded.
Yeah.
I am here for September 11th. Never forget.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Jet fuel can't melt steel beams.
Correct.
Yeah. Your face is like, what? Wait.
Well, I heard something else at first. I heard Jeff something.
Jeff Fields.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, nope, I'm just going to wait until he finishes.
All
right. Oh, you're right. Jet fuel melts steel beams.
I'm going to jump into this real quick because I'm anxious to hear your feedback. Portland mayor pushes reunification strategy in bid to end homelessness. Mayor Keith Wilson is doubling down on one of the lesser known pillars of his plan to end unsheltered homelessness by 2026, reuniting unhoused residents with family or friends outside of the city. Since taking office, Wilson has pledged to tackle the city's growing crisis with both new shelters and out-of-state travel support, which his office calls reunification. The mayor says the practice is cost-effective and proven to reduce homelessness in cities like Boston and Phoenix. Wilson has set a target of reconnecting 14 people per week, roughly 700 over the next year, by purchasing bus and plane tickets for those who want to return to loved ones elsewhere. So far, the city has helped 53 people travel to states across the country, including California, New York, and Florida, at a cost, of just under $8,000. The lowest cost form of housing is connecting someone with their family, Wilson said at a recent town hall. With more than 7,500 people living unsheltered in Multnomah County, his office argues the program could make a measurable dent in the crisis. But critics say Portland's version of reunification cuts corners. Unlike cities like Atlanta and Phoenix, which maintain contact with clients for months or years to ensure they stay housed, Portland stops tracking individuals as soon as they arrive at their destinations. Experts warn that without follow-up support like rent stipends, case management, or ID replacement, many risk falling back into homelessness. You own this person's success until they're successful, said Jack Harden of Atlanta Homelessness Leader. It doesn't just mean sending them home. Wilson's office insists it provides warm handoffs by confirming that family or clergy meet participants upon arrival, but admits it lacks resources for long-term monitoring. Our outreach team needs to triage more emergent and proximal issues during this crisis, said Rob Lane, spokesman for Portland Solutions, the mayor's homelessness office. Some local leaders, including City Councilor Candace Avalos, say reunification has its place but should not be treated as a centerpiece strategy. A lot of people, especially those from the LGBTQ community, end up homeless due to being kicked out by their own family, Avalos noted. The debate highlights the tension between Wilson's ambitious goal for ending unsheltered homelessness by 2026 and the practical limits of city programs. While reunification has produced heartwarming stories, such as one man's tearful reunion with his mother in Brooklyn, the lack of long-term oversight raises questions about whether the program can truly deliver on its promises. For now, Wilson is betting that sending people home is not just compassionate, but essential to meeting his bold campaign pledge. Mocha Jones, what say you? You're down in the front.
Well, I will say, I think that, like Candace said, I think that there's a place for reunification, meaning there are people that would be helpful to. That is not a centerpiece. That is not a program that is going to make a dent. That is not, what I'm trying to be clear not to do is to immediately say this is stupid.
Right.
What I will say is that if that is going to be like, if this is more than just a tool in the tool belt, or however we say, tool in the bag or whatever. If you are trying to make this a flagship program, then please, can we start the recall? Because this is a bus ticket program.
Mm-hmm.
The realities, as laid out, like Candace, there are so many people that are homeless. I mean, we don't have to do a whole lot of guesswork either.
Yeah.
There's a lot of studies. There are a lot of resources being spent on figuring out how this, how people so young become homeless. Their families are not their safe place.
Right.
I don't want any of us to get too caught up in, like I said, the tearful moments, the exciting moments of I haven't seen my so-and-so in however many years. That could be the case, and they could still 5 minutes later go, I remember now why I hate you.
Straight up.
I remember now that this is not a situation that is tenable for me. I'm not sure how I feel about even this is, I guess, we need more time.
Yeah,
more time. For me to really give you all of the things that are going through my head, because I also immediately think this is like, there's a paternalistic thing, like aspect here to me. Like, as long as you get back to your family, you're going to be fine. Or like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's this, that you're children, and that if you just go back home, you're going to be okay. And that you've made some silly decision, but there's a family sitting there waiting for you to come back and take care of you.
They've always been waiting.
Yeah. Like that is naive. There's are they supposed to be thankful for a bus ticket to get back to the abuse?
And that's
now, again,
that,
this is a, sorry.
Go ahead.
This is a program, if I understand this correctly, I'm signing up for this. I'm telling you, I want to be reunited, and that I have no issue with. It's, if you were, you know, out here saying, hey, we don't have a safe rest village without Confederate flags, so if you don't want to be here, we can send you back, you know, to Atlanta.
Oh, boy.
That, if, you know, if that's not what we're talking about, that's, I guess, a good thing. This just very much feels like those stories of, you know, the third grader that paid off the lunch debt for their whole class, that gets this like high five, standing ovation. People are having, you know, all the feels and the heartwarming, and I'm sitting there looking at it like, but why would anyone have the debt in the first place? And why is it a person that's 9 years old figuring out how to handle that scandal? This very much feels like celebrating something that isn't a something.
Mm-hmm. What's that? You're listening to X-Ray FM at KXLY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm.
I'll close. I think I'm gonna have to continue to think about this.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a lot of angles here. The entire like austerity, you know, cutting or underfunding real solutions to be able to do this kind of thing. That then doesn't have any follow-up. Then doesn't have any.
So, yeah.
And I don't love the idea of oversight of this, you know, and I don't know how much jurisdiction you have once you send someone out of your state. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you get to start asking questions. Are you paying their rent in a different state and you wouldn't pay their rent here? There's a lot of questions I have off top. Mm-hmm. What this immediately makes me think is we out here trying to do a Greyhound ticket program where housing policy should be.
Yeah. No,
and I don't think that this is about reuniting families. I think that that's about exporting poor people.
Yeah, I agree. It's a very not well implemented solution. The fact that you can point to other cities where this has worked and has had positive effect, but then also identify that you're not actually duplicating that program. You're duplicating it in name, but not in full process, means that you've already decided that you are going to indeed underserve this population, but still report it as a success. So, like you said, I'm not sure what level of oversight you can have outside of your city or state. But however, in these other programs, this full wraparound services that are existing when these people land, there's someone to check in with them. There are stipends given for rent. There are other services provided. So it's not like this is something else that they even have to figure out. You can just decide to do steps 1 through 5 to completion, or you can introduce this as a win and knowing you're only doing steps 1 through 3.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So no, you definitely are just exporting the poor. And if you don't have the resources to do it the right way, then you have to make a decision to serve less people. That's it. Slow it down. You had a 1 year deadline. You're going to cure homelessness by 2026. Mm-hmm. Like AJ said, anyone that believed that, like, wowie, we wow.
LMAO.
Yikes on several bikes and trikes.
Oh, okay. Like, every bike has a yikes on it.
Yeah. There's so many yikes out there. You know, so yeah, you can't really give, you can't really slap a blue ribbon participation trophy on people's ability to live and thrive in their own communities and with these types of, you know, quick Band-Aid solutions, something that look good in the press.
It's an existing program. It's not even something that he came up with, and I need everybody to understand that. This is not new.
Yeah.
This is not new. This is the kind of thing that has already been running in the background, and it's, if you are like, oh, let's just... If the meetings look like, what have we been trying? Okay, let's try that one louder. I don't want it. Sorry for yelling.
No.
But this really is like, how come nobody has the grit or tenacity to like deal with the actual cost of not solving homelessness?
Right.
Because the let's pretend that this displacement is compassion is out. It's out. You are literally kicking the can down the state and then being like,
yeah,
look what I can do.
Yeah, you're kicking the can down the coast.
Wow, that's better. I like that. I like that a lot better. Love me some alliteration. All right.
Well, we're going to wrap. Yeah. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is News of My Fiance, made possible by Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush, our podcast editor, Kyle G. Residual Audio.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Musical playlist is updated, and Kyle will have the texts in place in the description. Thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you all for texting in. Y'all know we love it, but you do indeed know what it is. Don't let the individuals distract you from the systems. Poverty is a policy choice. People over profits. Power to the people. None of us are free until we are all free. Thank you so much for listening, and stay tuned for Tom Hartman. Go ahead.
Two things real quick. Yeah. The last two texts, Brooke said most folks do not have a social safety net. Ding, 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 ding. And P-Town said, P.S., the city where the camp is, they also have Trump signs everywhere, cops, and Klan racism. That's their man.
Boom.
Bye.